pass your cups to the aisle, and the ushers will come and wait upon you. And as they do that, if you would turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 14, new series, Gospel of Luke, Leaping into Luke. Had a teacher in Bible college. He would use those kind of rhymey things, and I thought, yeah, we could do that. Leaping into Luke chapter 14. Luke 14. If you got a Bible, hold it up. Say, got it. Got it. I think, who I gave? Oh, I gave one to a different lady last night. All righty. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 30. The Bible says, this is a heavy sled. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me, does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brother and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Lord, we come before you. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, that you would be glorified, Lord, in this place. Lord, we thank you for your word that is a guide, a lamp unto our feet. We thank you that you give us so freely this word and transform our lives by it. Lord, we help, trust, ask your spirit to guide us in a response to that. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
It is good to see you. Are you good?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I have a story to tell you. Tennessee, I believe, is underwater today. Much of the East Coast is. The story I tell you is of a hitchhiker. How many of you have ever hitchhiked? Who has never hitchhiked? Never hitchhiked. Well, hitchhiking, all right, give me my hitchhikers again. Hands up. Hitchhiking can be a humbling experience. Ed, you look like a hitchhiker from way back. Because sometimes, well, he had his hand up, man. I mean, it can be humbling. I mean, you're out there, car coming, you say, this is the one. No luck, man. Well, this man was hitchhiking through Tennessee. And he was looking for a secret fishing hole, Willow Creek. And so he's got his pole, he's got his stuff, you know, and it's kind of little, well, I don't know, haphazard in life, you know, hitchhiking to go fishing, you know, usually you have your gear, you got a car. But anyway, so he is hitchhiking and he's looking for Willow Creek and he ends up in Tennessee, the old dude sitting in front of the country store. And he says, I need to get to Willow Creek. And he says, going fishing, are you? So I used to fish there as a kid. He goes, let me tell you how to get there. What you do is you jump on Highway 16, and you go over by the, the ferry's not there anymore. And he says, let me tell you. He goes, no, what you do is you take Highway 25 out of town, and you go to Sand Road. No, don't. And he says, oh, man, they put a shopping center there. And he says, here you go. He says, take Main Street out of town. And he goes, no. He goes, I don't think you can get there from here. The title of today is Impossible Situation. Jesus, as we take a look at the Gospel of Luke, starts the first nine chapters. You have to burst up, but you get the first nine chapters, the beginning of Jesus' ministry is in Galilee, which is about as far from Jerusalem as Escondido is from us. And so basically, Jesus in the area of Galilee and the Decapolis, it's there's 10 cities that are kind of around the Sea of Galilee, would almost be like doing a ministry up there on Freeway 78, you know, kind of Oceanside to Escondido and all that stuff. And Jesus was raising an awareness of the kingdom of God up there. And chapter 10, 11, on through, he begins to come to Jerusalem. And here's this guy who is famous, and they're hearing about him, and he's been impacting the life of the Jews up around Galilee. You have Samaria in between. They don't get along real well. But he comes to Jerusalem, where they would arrest him, where they would lie on him, where they would convince Pilate to crucify him, even though Pilate would have let him go. God's own people would crucify him. Come to a dinner, which is the scene of chapter 14, first half, to a Pharisee's house, one of those religious leaders of the day. A big deal. Political leaders of Jerusalem would have been invited, the social leaders, the financial people were there. It was a meeting of the haves and the have-nots. And it was all a setup. There was a man who suffered from dropsy. And Jesus. They were both invited. They were given places of visibility so that the invitees could see what Jesus would do with this man who suffered from dropsy. And you can read that and you can think in your mind, wow, this guy's going to be falling on himself like an epileptic. But that is not what dropsy is. I did some research on that, and our name for dropsy is edema. And I don't know if you know what edema is, but it is a swelling of the body. You think, wow. That is edema. That is edema. Different forms attack various parts of the body. And so this man who suffered from dropsy would have been a social outcast who was hideously disfigured. And here he is placed at a position of honor and Jesus right in front of him. And they were the show because it was a Sabbath and the religious leader wanted to see what is Jesus going to do with this? And Jesus being Jesus healed the man. And Jesus says to them, you know, you care more for your livestock than you do for this child of God. And he exposed their heart. And he goes through this dinner. We're going to take a look at this. And exposes the hearts of the guests. It exposes the hearts of the host. Because Jesus is all about your heart today. Can I get a witness on that? The kingdom of God is about your heart. God shows no favoritism. Kingdom is a sacrifice. And I'm wondering if you're making one. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Impossible situation. Here we go. Let's rewind back. Verse 7, this is right after the healing. When he noticed how the guests, because here he is seated, right, at maybe not the position of honor, but he was up there so the important people could see him. And also this guy that he healed. And he sees how everybody else is pushing to the front. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor. For a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of them will come to you and say, give this man your seat. What are you doing, JR? You're in the front row. Give this man your seat. Then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place.
And this is a message for the guests. People looking for honor. People pushing for position. They are looking for honor that they have not earned, that is not intended for them. The position at this banquet was a display of the pecking order of importance in Jerusalem. And so they would seek to wheedle up a couple and say, "Hey, there's Johnny back there. Oh, yeah." And gain greater notoriety for themselves. They were pushing themselves to a position of notoriety that they thought they deserved. And Jesus says, "Watch out, because the host is paying attention." And he says, "Your actions can cause you to lose the position that you have and move down the line." Our wedding was a complicated affair, complicated by the fact that Lisa's parents were divorced when she was young, fifth, sixth grade, something like that, when you were five. And so so she had her father's family, she had her mother's family, she's closer aligned to, and she had, and we had my family. And so her mom and her husband, Gil, footed a majority of the cost of the wedding. And so we put them front and center. And my mom and dad over here on the left. And then Lisa's dad and his wife and their family were to the right. And so we're taking pictures and we come back and sit down. And there's all kinds of commotion going down. And I look over and I see my mom and my dad. "Hey, Dad." And there's Tom, and there's his wife, Sue. "Hey, Tom, Sue." And in the middle is Uncle Arnie and his whole family. And I'm going, "Uncle Arnie, what are you doing in the middle table?" He was where he wasn't supposed to be. And that's what Jesus is talking about, pushing the guests around. A message for the host. A message for the host. Jesus said to the host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends." And you think, "Well, who else am I going to invite?" Well, Jesus tells you who you should invite. He said, "Or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. For if you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." And he's saying, "Guy, you're missing it here." He was a Pharisee. The closest thing that we got to a Pharisee these days are Hasidic Jews. All right? And this guy, you see the little box on their head? That's a phylactery. And Jesus had talked about binding, putting a phylactery on your brow. And you can see it, that they have these things wrapped around their forearms. And so they're trying to be faithful to what God has told us that we should do. Told the children of Israel what they should do. And so what the Pharisees did, they were a group that raised about 400 B.C. in the captivity in Babylon and said, "You know what, we need to be sold out for God." And they found, they codified all the Old Testament. They were radically fired up dudes. But by the time of Jesus, they had lost their focus on the Lord, and they'd have only the rules that were made by men. And so Jesus says to this Pharisee, he says, "Guy, you're missing it here. See, you can have this buffet that you're putting on. You can have this party. You can have this banquet that you are putting on. And you can invite all these wealthy people. And guess what? They're all going to pay you back. And you will be even." But he says, there is an entirely different group that you can invite. You can invite the lame. You can invite the blind. You can invite this guy that got healed today, not for a display, but a whole room full of them. And guess what? He says, you invite them and they will not be able to repay you. But there is one who stands in their stead, who will pay you back, and you will receive a reward in the kingdom of heaven for the gifts that you would give these men. He says, man, you have surrounded yourself with the things of God, and you're missing God. You're in an impossible situation. And he's probably doing pretty well for himself. Cost some money to dress like that. The Pharisees were connected. This guy was connected. He had enough money to throw a banquet. And he was shaking and he was baking. And he was making it work. And Jesus says, it's not working. Let me give you a picture of what Jesus is talking about. Trump, Carson, and Fiorina. I doubt they're having many banquets for the poor. When they are meeting and they're having meals, they are having meals with influencers. Why? Trump might not need the money, but he needs influence. Carson and Fiorina, they need money. And so they're going to have these things and say, hey, look, you have access to me. I need your cash. I need you to help me. And this is exactly what that Pharisee was doing. He was saying, I'm looking for some kickback. And that's what they do. And I'm not faulting any of them. I think two of them would make a great president. I won't tell you which two. But ask me later. I don't know. Anyway. We're just moving on. Here we go. Jesus says to the host, you're missing your opportunity, man. You can put a focus on heaven. And you will pay a price today. My question for you is, do you have your focus on heaven? And are you paying the price? Because your salvation comes as the free gift of Christ. But there is a response. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's keep going. He says you're missing the point. Verses 15 through 17. When one of those at the table with him... When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the man. Now, this is the guy who's surrounded by religiosity. Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, a certain man. He doesn't say, okay. He doesn't say, good idea. He says, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell all those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. And Jesus is referencing the children of God. Jesus is referencing the Jews of the day. And he's saying, you have got the open invitation. And he goes on with verse 18. He says, but when the servant went out to get him, he said, you know, I just bought some oxen. I got to go check them out. The guy goes, okay. And he goes to the next day, I just got a field, and I got to go finish up the deal, and I got to go check it out. And okay. And he goes to the next day, I just got married. Don't got time. The cares of life were choking out the focus on the kingdom. Doors are open and nobody comes. Too much going on. So in our lives, concerns for the present can choke out the focus on the kingdom. Jesus is sitting in the house of a religious leader. All the invitees are coming to a religious function. And Jesus is saying, you're missing it. Sorry, I forget the blank. Point B. I'll give you it right now. God expands the list. That's where I got in. I love this part. The owner of the house became angry, ordered his servant go out quickly into the streets, into the alleys of the town, bringing the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. This references the the infusion of the Gentiles, because God's children, whom the invitations had gone out, were too busy, too much going on, too much life choking out the purposes of God. Go out into the alleyways. Go out into the city streets. That's where he found me, walking all alone, lost in the streets of Sacramento. Let the banquet be filled. I'm not alone anymore, folks. I'm not lost anymore. Jesus came to his own received him not. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets, stone those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather you, your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Paul compares the kingdom of God to an olive tree where the pruner and the gardener, who is God, would cut off those branches who are not producing anything and would graft in those wild branches. We're wild branches today, folks. God is doing a work in our lives so that we can fit into that tree. Can I get a witness on that? How many of you seen the kitchen this morning? Who has not seen the kitchen this morning? It is a radically different kitchen than you have seen before. Why? Because Mike Henson and I, George and the crew, kind of got stuff out of the way. But Mike and I have been working diligently since Friday. Amen. Cutting out old, we put in new stainless steel sinks. A whole wall of them, and we pulled out the old sink, and we pulled out the old cabinets, and we found that we pulled them out, there was no floor. So we had to, I mean, there was concrete, but there was no floor. So we had to put in floor, and we pulled out the cabinets, and we found out there was no wall. I mean, there was wall, but there was no covering on the wall. So we had to rebuild the floor and rebuild the wall so we could put in the sinks. And then we put in the sink, and we realized that this big old gooseneck thing that comes out to wash stuff got in the way of the cabinets, so we had to move the upper cabinets up, and then we found there was no wall behind the cabinets, and so there was all this work going on to make it fit. Jesus' work on the cross is to make you fit in that olive tree so that God would cut off the branches that said, "Give us Barabbas," and make a spot for you. And when you graft in a branch, you make a cut in the trunk, and stick it in there, and wind it up, put some sap and stuff on it, and it starts to grow. That's me, and that's you. Amen. It's a price. Kingdom of heaven has a price. Question is, are you paying it today? It's not a payment to get in, but it is a transformed life because you are in. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen? All right, let's go. All right, now, Jesus, at verse 25, he shifts from being in the Pharisee's house. And now what we have is the large crowd. Okay, so we got a shift of venue, we'll say. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone," I do that because he's talking to a big crowd, "if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father," and I think that is so harsh. Well, let's see. Page 893 in my Bible. Should we just tear it out? I think the Holy Spirit just doesn't really want it. No. Every word. Amen? Amen? If anyone does not come to me, and if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, and see, this is where it kind of hits home, even his own life. Because you think, wait a minute, you know, God's against family. No. He's hitting you right where you live. Even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. The cost is high. Large crowds following Jesus. They're looking for miracles. They're looking for healings. They're looking for meals. When crowds are referenced in the Gospels, it's generally not a sold-out group of people that are just willing to lay down their lives for the Lord. It is generally some people who got some interest but are missing the point. I mean, Jesus died alone except for his mom and a few women and John, correct? The crowds were gone. The crowds were yelling, "Crucify!" The crowds were yelling, "Give us Barabbas!" So the crowds are not the sold out. The crowds are there looking to get paid. Invitations going out. Price to attend. Wedding banquet of the Lamb. All you have, pick up your cross. Follow me. It's a sacrificial life. There's a price to pay. There were several who paid that price in Oregon this week. Gunmen, I'm sure you have heard reference to. I looked up some of the details last night and today. Shot the teacher in the head, went in, told everybody to get on the ground. Said, "If you are Christian, stand up." Several stood and said, "Because you're Christian, you're about to meet God in 1 second." And they began to shoot them all. Invitation to the kingdom is free. The price is high. That price was paid by several this week. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Paying the price? It's high. Jesus says, realize what you're signing up for. He says, as he continues on in Luke, or as Luke continues on with his teaching, he says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation, is not... Now, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God here. He's not talking about a tower. He references next a king that has 10,000 soldiers going up another king with 20,000. He's not talking about war. He's talking about the kingdom of God. Okay? He says, know what you're signing up for here. I got thousands of people following me here. It's maybe several hundred, but a crowd. Realize what you're signing up for here today, folks. He says, if somebody lays the foundations, not able to finish it, everyone will see who sees him will ridicule him. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything cannot be my disciple. Salvation's free. Kingdom requires your life. Pick up your cross daily. Cost all you have. So what's standing between you and heaven today? What are you holding on to? What do you love more than the kingdom of God? List is long. Drinking, drugging, gambling, pornography. Oh yeah, those all got to go. And hopefully in your life, those are gone or in the process of going. How about father, mother, wife, and children? Because the gambling, the drinking, the drugs, the pornography, those are all barriers to heaven. But as Jesus says, father, mother, children, spouse, they can be barriers to heaven as well. I'm not giving up my kids. I'm not asking you to. I don't believe that God is asking you to. But he will ask you to view them differently. That my wife is not per se so much my wife as his precious daughter. And that I should live and treat her as such, that my children are a gift from God, a blessing from God, and that I should view them as His. And that reinterpretation, that reorientation of the relationships that I have, pull Him into the midst of all of them. And He becomes preeminent in my life. And so the question becomes, what's preeminent in your life this week? I want to let you know, I work real hard on sinks in the kitchen, but they are not preeminent in my life. Can I get a witness on that? George is in there all the time. He's in there right now, cooking a wonderful lunch for you. Those sinks are not preeminent in his life. That kitchen is not. I hope the Lord is your ultimate focus. So when someone asks you, you're a Christian, stand up. There is no hesitation. Lisa, you want to come up? Jesus talking about the kingdom of God. Big question. Are you going? Several went this week. Would you have gone? It's a matter of the heart. Jesus says, what's most important to you? Jesus went to a banquet and could see what was most important to everyone who was there. The host, the guests, he had crowds follow him and he could read their hearts. What is most important to you? Because if it is not my Father in heaven, you are indeed in an impossible situation. But if you seek first the kingdom of God, you'll never lack for a ride. So I'll come and get you, and I'll take you where you need to go. Lord, we come to you this morning. Some of us heading in the wrong direction, Lord. Some of us here for the wrong reasons. So many had wrong reasons at that Pharisee's home so many years ago. But Lord, there are those who have been healed. There are those who are the blind, the lame, the crippled, and the poor that sit right here in this building this morning, and we are indeed transformed. We are indeed changed, and we are indeed your children. There are those things in our lives that creep up and become valuable to us, Lord. Help us always to keep our priorities straight, Lord. Help us always to be ready to pay the price. And perhaps you're here this morning, the Lord is speaking to your heart. He is saying, you got so much stuff in between me and you, some of it's just got to go. And you're saying, I did not realize, Lord. Forgive me. Lord, we'll keep my eye on you. Put my hopes and my desires in you. Your sacrifice on the cross given for me. Lord, I never want to say Barabbas. I never want to say anything instead of you. And so this morning, Lord, I place my entire life before you, Lord. Lay it down. What's in the way? What makes your situation impossible? Some of us need to remove barriers this morning. Some of us do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior this morning. If that is you right now, the Holy Spirit is saying, you're in an impossible situation. You're here this morning, and God is just tapping you right on the shoulder saying, life's impossible for you right now. Time to make a change. No one looking around, I just have you just say, Lord, Lord, save me a sinner. Lord, set me free.
I'm lost. I'm alone. I don't want to live like this anymore. Here I am, Lord. See me in City Heights, Lord. See me in San Diego, Lord. I don't want to live like this anymore with nobody looking around. I just want you to just slide your hand up and say, Lord, that's me. Back here, here, here. All over the place. Perhaps you're here this morning. You know the Lord. But some things have crept in. Family relationships. Financial relationships. There's confusion. Say, Lord, I don't want to be confused anymore. Lord, right now, he's touching your heart. He's saying, it's this relationship. It's this thing. It's your love for this. It is a barrier between you and I. Right now, this morning, the Lord is speaking to your heart, and he's speaking to you a specific thing that needs to change or needs to go in your life. Nobody looking around, but the Lord is speaking right to your heart. Say, Lord, I hear it, I hear it, I hear it. I'm going to work on this. I'm going to do this. Acknowledgement to his voice, the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. I just want you to slide your hand up and say, I'm working on it this week. Back here and here, here. Anybody else? This is not salvation. This is just something that needs to go in your life. Anybody else here? Be rearranged. Anybody else? All right, what I want you to do after service, or even if you got a pen handy, on your notes, on the inside of your Bible, on the bulletin, someplace, right here. Write it down. Write it down. When you write it down, show somebody. Show somebody, not somebody you don't know. Somebody who's close enough to you on Tuesday, say, how you doing with that? On Thursday, say, how you coming with that? For one, it could be his phone.